back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here at the El Pacifico. And see that, bud?
Yeah, that's the Pacifico right there.
What is that?
That's the ocean right behind us. It's actually a very calm evening out there, but you see, that's the oil platform.
Oh, that's the lit-up thing.
Yeah. Which you can see prominently from our studios here at the El Pacifico. That's an oil platform between here and the Channel Islands. You know, I saw a story on TV here this past weekend that shocked me. Though I never knew the man, I felt I had a connection to him. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. For those of you who are from the city of Denver, you probably remember a morning show, Stephen B. and the Hawk. It was a morning show on radio in Denver that was perhaps one of the prototypes in the Denver market and perhaps in the country of the or maybe one of the perfectors of the morning zoo type of approach, which was a sort of a gonzo approach to rock and roll morning radio, a little bit of talk radio mixed in with a lot of comedy and music. Now, Stephen B., I heard about not only professionally, but also when I was out there in the world, you know, making, you know, my way up the ladder, I'd come home here to California, and he, apparently Stephen B., was also a Californian. And my mother said to me one day, she says, have you ever heard,
your mother sounds like Karen.
Yeah, my mother was a little bit like Karen. She says, have you ever heard Stephen B.? And I said, no, Mom, I haven't. I think I know the name. She says, well, you know that the lady that I help at the store, because my mother worked at the May Company or one of the department stores in Newport Beach.
Yeah, we're on the Fashion Island.
Exactly. At Fashion Island there, they had a lot of the different stores. My mother had a little job there. She liked doing her job. She enjoyed it. So I think it was a Nordstrom, something like that. In any event, she says, well, you know, one of my customers is this lady so-and-so, and she's her son is Stephen B. I said, oh, wow, really? And he's in Denver, yes, uh-huh. I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And I really did. I wasn't just humoring my mother. I thought it was kind of cool because there was this sort of little, you know, it was a little, the radio community is indeed a small one, and it's one thing when you know other people in the business. But it's also kind of interesting when you hear about them through family members. You know, oh, I met this guy who's on this station. Now I'm watching this thing. You saw it with me, bud, this thing on Investigation Discovery, huh?
You guys live on Investigation Discovery, my God.
There's a lot of stuff you learn on it. Yeah, you should watch it, and you learn about stuff.
What do I have to learn from that?
Well, it's crime. It's true crime stuff. And lo and behold, I'm seeing this story, and they found a man floating off of Catalina Island in the water, and this was Stephen B.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, the poor man was murdered. He was murdered, and he was murdered, and I'm trying to get the time frame. Maybe one of you guys, Bud, while you're sitting there with your plate, you know.
If he doesn't stop it with the fingers up the nose.
I'm going right and looking at it, but you're...
What is it with you? Blow your no-woes, okay?
See this, Bud? This is a piece of paper. Tissue looks like this.
Here, let me hear it.
Oh, God, he blew his nose. That's part of my tax... I'll kill it.
No, Bud, get out of here.
Oh, I'm trying to do it.
You blew your nose on her tax return. What did you get your tax return out for?
Frank wanted me to read something back to him. He was on the phone. So this poor man.
Yes, yes. And I said, geez, that's the guy. I said, that's the guy that my mom was talking about. She knew the poor mother. And as it turned out, Stephen B. was very close to his parents. His father was very ill, and his father did eventually pass on. Here in, I believe, the Long Beach, San Pedro, Palos Verdes area of Los Angeles. And he inherited his father's estate, which was in the neighborhood of about $2 million. So he had a nice family inheritance there. And he was not a guy, and I got to hand it to this man, Stephen B. He didn't want to get back on the radio. He didn't have a driving passion to do that. He wanted to sail.
As in sailboats?
Yes. He wanted to sail, and he wanted to sail around the world. That was one of his dreams. And he had this money, and he didn't know. I think they said, well, was he going to maybe buy a boat? No, you know. He didn't quite know. Now he meets a guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He meets a guy up in L.A., and this chap is introduced to him as a very well-to-do businessman who has just purchased this boat. He wants to refit this sailboat, and they're going to do—they want to do a round-the-world a cruise. And would you be interested, Stephen B? He says, "Well, as a matter of fact, I would. You know, I'm." And here's the other thing: Stephen B was a chef. He was very much into cooking. His friends said that he was a terrific cook, and he would often have dinners, and he cooked for them. And he said, so this man with the boat that needed refitting, he says, I tell you what, I could use a cook, and you can work your way on this cruise. You can work your way around the world on the cruise working for me. And apparently this sounded good to this Stephen B. gentleman. Stephen B. Williams is his name. So he began working for this guy.
I think I know this story.
Don't tell me. It's good. I want to get the surprise.
Well, hold on, bud. Did you blow your nose?
Yeah.
So, this poor man starts working for this multimillionaire supposed guy on his boat. He's a cook. He's also doing much of the repair. He's doing a lot of the finishing. He's doing a lot of the engine repair. He's doing a lot. He's doing a lot of the work. You know, it's the classic Tom Sawyer, you know, paint the fence thing, or Huckleberry Finn, whatever that book was. I forget which.
I think it was a combination of the two.
Yeah, was it Huckleberry? Probably Tom Huckle. Or not that, but I mean a Huckleberry Sawyer, if you wanted to combine it two.
Yeah, that's real good, bud.
Never mind, bud. So any Huckleberry Sawyer. So anyway, the this man is doing all this repair, and he now finds that he doesn't have any money. His friends ask him, because they're going out to lunch with him, and he's saying, well, can you pick up the check? I don't have any money. And they say, well, why? He says, well, you know, he'd been floating checks to this guy to the tune of $2 million, and it just so happens that it costs $2 million to fix this boat. So this guy had been writing checks to this guy to help repair this boat. And this dude, this millionaire, he didn't have a nickel. He was just a con man who had conned this Stephen B. out of his money. So the day came that Stephen says to his friends, I'm going to tell this guy I want my money back. Well, you know how this one ends. And God bless the poor man and rest his soul. It always seems in these stories that they say, I'm going to go find my money, get my money back. And when do they want to go get their money? When they're alone on a boat with the guy somewhere, or it's at night, or it's in the guy's office and he doesn't have any friends. You know, it's the most vulnerable. It seems like the most vulnerable time. And sure enough, he's on the guy's boat. And I guess they're going between Catalina and, or they're going around the Catalina Island, which is an island, those of you not familiar, it's an island off the coast of California near L.A. So they're going around the island, and this guy comes up, the police theorize, behind Mr. Williams and pops him and pushes his body overboard. He's obviously, he's dead, and he's in the water. Now, the whole reason why they caught onto this trial is because the body of this man, this unidentified man, was found. But no one had really reported him missing, or if they had, I think they hadn't connected the two, you know?
I think that's what it was. His friends had reported him missing, but also they found this body, but they didn't know that the two were related.
Right, so make a long story short, this guy that killed him goes on the lam when he finds out that the police were at his boat. You know, this guy, he's got this boat. Some of these people are so stupid, you wonder, how the hell did they ever make it past the age of 10? You know, he's walking down to his boat. He sees cops are crawling all over his boat. So he turns and he splits, gets into his car. He's gone, man. They're able to track his cell phone as far as Arizona. Then it goes dead. Next thing you know, the guy turns up in Montana. He fits the description of a guy that's wanted by the police. The guy is going, he gets employed as a car salesman at a used car lot, but the guy that employs him recognizes him immediately, calls the cops, and this dude is arrested for murder. And when they finally take him in for his questioning, they say, do you know Stephen B. Williams? He goes, yeah, he was my cook. That's all he knows. He left, and I haven't seen him since. Yeah, well, guess what, man? Yes, you have.
So this poor man was murdered for his money.
He was murdered for his money. His father's $2 million inheritance was gone. And, I mean, you can discuss whether he was smart, whether he wasn't. He got conned. He got conned out of, and how many times does that happen? He got conned out of his money, and he gave it to this guy thinking that this money that he was giving to this guy in order to fix this man's boat would be returned to him somehow. I don't know what he was thinking, but he finally was convinced by his friends, you got to get your money back, because this guy has taken every dime you have, and you're broke, and, you know, what's this about? And sure enough, the day he went to get his money back, he was killed.
And this was on this Investigation Discovery?
Yes. I'm telling you, it's the greatest channel. I love it. I can watch it all weekend. It's fantastic.
Would you watch it instead of listening to your podcast?
No, I would not.
Yeah, you're...
No, because I laugh when I listen to our podcast, and I don't laugh. So when I need laughs, I listen to our podcast. When I don't need laughs, I watch this. All right. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with other news. Mitt Romney's so-called hostile takeover of the debate, yeah, right, will be discussed. And the Mexican Navy says it may have killed a wanted drug lord, yeah, right. And Jerry Sandusky proclaims his innocence ahead of sentencing, yeah, right. All of that and more on a world-famous Phil Henry show.
Truth, yeah, right. Is yeah, our right. Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, right. Could do what?
No, what I'm saying, you got murdered.
If I got murdered, what?
You'd be a legend.
That, all we're saying, Phil, is it's automatic legend status.
Oh, well, then why don't I just go out and get murdered, and I know I'm an automatic legend? God.
Well, don't start stumbling, man. You're all nervous, going blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you all sound nervous and everything.
Phil, we're not saying go out and get murdered, but we're saying that it would be...
It'd be nice, huh?
I didn't say it'd be nice. It would... You would ensure your legacy that way.
Yeah, people always say, yeah, Phil Henry, you got murdered.
Oh, well, that's just fantastic. Are you guys nuts or something? I'm going to go out and get murdered and ensure my legacy. What's that going to mean to me? And what's that going to mean to my family? Somebody to pay my family because I was murdered?
Well, but I mean, they'll want to make a movie or something out of your life.
Oh, well, that's how I get it done. Jeez, why didn't I think of it? Hey, what happened to the TVs?
I don't know. Looks like the cable went out.
The cable went out. All of a sudden, the cable went out on my TV. Thank you, Time Warner. The boxes still work, and it looks to me like everything is still functioning. World at War and the new detectives. One moment should be available shortly. I'll tell you, Time Warner, every time they do that, and you know what this is? It's midnight, isn't it? Yep, they always do their bullcrap at midnight.
What do you mean, bullcrap?
They always are out there fooling around with the lines or doing this or doing that. You know, some of us use your service. I got to get over there, man, and talk to them. And the other thing, by the way, Bank of America, and I'm saying this publicly, I'm saying it on the air, and I don't give a damn who knows it. You know, I'm so sick and tired of going into your branch and asking you to get me off of that paperless. I don't give a sweet Jesus about paperless statements. You understand? I want paper. My accountant needs it. We like it, okay? I want it mailed to me. I don't want paperless.
Well, what's the big deal?
I went in last month to this place, and I said, can you guys get me off of this paperless? I'd like paper statements mailed to me, please. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Henry, no problem. It's been over a month. Something simple like that. Why can't they do that?
Well, Bobby, you ask them. Maybe they got confused.
What's confusing about it, man? Do you realize that when I went into B of A, and I said to them, I'd like paper statements, I found out that in adding one of my accounts wasn't added to the online banking. I don't know how they do what they do, but they had butchered it so bad that they had all of my accounts under my retirement portfolio, and it was going to mean a big, big change in taxes, and these dumbasses had done this for whatever reason, I don't know. And I said, well, wait a second. It was caught by the, I would like to say it was caught by the personal banker, and it was, however, and I'd like to give him credit. However, he's the same dumbass that wasn't able to get me off of the paperless statements. So.
Well, Phil, you are calling out Bank of America publicly. How do you feel about that?
Let me tell you how I feel about that, okay? Would you like to know how I feel about that?
Well, let me guess.
No, you can't guess. You can't guess, because I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, how unfair, and you have the bully pulpit, and you're calling... Bank of America is a multi... Don't give me this thing about how I have the bully pulpit. If Bank of America could buy and sell me, the company that syndicates my radio show, and probably all the radio stations I'm on, five times over, okay? Bank of America is the beneficiary of billions of dollars of taxpayer money. Bank of America has billions of dollars of assets. Bank of America is Bank of America. They're badass. They're the bad boy on the block. Don't give me this thing about how I've got the bully pulpit. B of A, and the one little thing I'm calling them out on. Am I saying that, well, let's say they floated loans to third world dictatorships in the 80s?
Which they did.
No, I'm not saying that. Am I indeed bringing up the billions of dollars they took from the taxpayers after the, the toxic asset meltdown of the great 2008 kibibble? No, I am not.
What's a kibibble?
Never mind. Am I bringing up any of that stuff? No, I am not. What am I bringing up? The fact they can't get me back on paper statements. That's all. That's all.
Well, I just think it's not fair.
Oh, well, poor B of A. Oh, God, my heart's breaking for them. Imagine, they got to go home tonight and they got to face their wife and kids when they heard Phil Henry saying that they can't get him on baby David.
Why do you have to be cynical, Phil? I just think that there's an awful lot of this on the radio and on television where people like you use your position to badmouth...
These companies? So what? It's not like I'm calling out some ma-and-pa bank at the corner. I'm not talking about some guy that's got a corner fruit stand. I'm not talking about a guy that's got a little tiny grocery store or a little tiny insurance... I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about some guy that's struggling to keep his business afloat, and along comes Phil Henry and puts out the bad word. I don't like that any more than you do. I don't like guys that do that. I'm talking about Bank of America. I couldn't put him out of business if I tried in 100 years. But I'll tell you what, this is all that is left to me in life when a place like B of A causes this kind of inconvenience. Because look at, man, I got to get out of bed. I work late. I get up late. But I got to get out of bed early because my accountant needs these statements. So I got to get my ass to the Westlake Village branch, which is a 45-minute drive. Walk in, explain it all over again to this guy. Listen to their excuses again, which is, well, you know, we don't really do that, sir, and this and that. And then have a guy say to me, hey, Mr. Henry, I'm your personal banker. I can get this done. Oh, okay, that sounds great. Sure, no problem. Have a seat. I'll hear that all over again because that's what I heard the first time. Then another bank officer will come in and they'll talk to me and shoot the crap and, hey, how you been and what you doing? And, oh, are those, is that a seersucker suit you're wearing? That's fantastic. I hear it's wash and wear. I'm just joking, but... I've always wanted to own one anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to seersucker suit me, bitchin'.
You know you can get some good seersuckers now at the seersuckers they have over at...
Oh, never mind. I'm not interested in a seersucker. Anyway.
About a Florsheim shoe.
What about a Florsheim shoe?
I mean, they'll look good by the seersucker.
Yeah, well, great. I'll keep it in mind. Wow. Anyway,
No, it wouldn't, by the way.
Okay, that's great. I don't want to talk about seersucker suits or Florsheim shoes. I'm talking about B of A. So anyway... So I'm going to sit there and have that guy come in and blah, 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 blah. And then the next thing you know, they're going to say, everything's great. It's all cool, Mr. Henry. You'll be getting your paper stamp. And it's going to be another month. Now, who am I? And you see, here's what happens. If you walk in there and you say anything that even hints of displeasure, even hints of displeasure, then they begin to size up, is he worth it or is he not? Does he have enough money with us or does he not? If he has enough money with us, I'm assuming they gave me a personal banker because I have enough money. But maybe I don't have enough money.
Not enough money to give them that kind of trouble.
Right. So I've got enough money, but do I have enough money where they're going to take my crap? And that's when I have to have my ace in the hole, which is basically this. Fine, you know, I've been wanting to take my money over to Wells Fargo.
Oh, God, you wouldn't do that, would you?
What's wrong with Wells Fargo?
Well, there's nothing wrong with Wells Fargo, but would you actually drop that in their laps?
No. No, I'm not going to sit there and go, you don't get this done, I go to Wells Fargo. But I've been thinking about it anyway, man. I'm getting sick and tired of Bank of America. I'm getting sick and tired of them. I'm not kidding. I'm getting sick and tired of the hoops I got to jump through. I tried to open up a merchant account, What is it, time to...
Yeah, it's time to take another break. You're running your mouth.
That's what I'm supposed to run my mouth. That's what I'm supposed to do.
You were running your mouth a little long.
We'll be right back. I've been running my mouth. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with another interesting anecdote about murder that we saw on television, me and Bud, this past weekend while we were sharing a box of Bugles. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, one of the things that I've learned over the past several years is, you know, it is very, very true, you know, when people tell you all the things they're going to do for you, right? And you come to, if you come to trust those kinds of things, and when I look at the story of this poor man, Stephen B., and I say, boy, how could you let yourself get suckered? You know, in small ways every day, we're all getting suckered, and I'm not talking about politicians. Forget about that. Just get off that kick for about 5 seconds. You know, one of the things that we do is as a fallback, we just, well, you see, my life sucks because of Obama or Bush, or, you know, and that's always a very convenient out. But fact is, we let ourselves get suckered in small ways every day or in big ways, you know. Now, here I am screaming and yelling about my life. At least I ain't flying a plane into a building, you know.
Well, yes, like that man Stacked.
Joe Stack?
Yes.
Right. At least I've never contemplated, nor would I ever contemplate, getting into an aircraft and flying it into a building. Unless, of course, that building had attached to it a big runway, then it would be flying it onto the runway.
Yeah, it wouldn't be on a building.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, here's what you find out. You find out in life that you really have to approach everything with a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Patience, when they say it's a virtue, they're not kidding. And if I've learned anything, I've learned two things: humility and patience. And I say that knowing full well people who are backstage pass members, they see me during the breaks. They see me off the air before the show starts. They see me screaming and yelling and ranting and raving. I'm going to tell you, I've come a long way. Even though I scream and yell and rant and rave, I've come a long way, baby. Remember that commercial, Margaret?
Yes, you've come a long way, baby, to get where you've got to.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Is this the whole...
Yes, bud.
Well, yeah, but I know...
I'm not done yet. I know the song. It goes this. You've come a long way, baby, to get where you've got to today. You've got your own cigarette now, baby. Woo, you come along. You know that one?
Yeah, yeah, I know it.
Bud was interrupting me.
That, what was that?
It's a commercial for a cigarette.
That was what they called what do you call it, Lady Equality?
No, they didn't call it Lady Equality. They called it Women's Equality.
But they called it Equal Rights. And I don't know. No, they didn't call that. It was a commercial that was capitalizing on the whole Equal Rights thing. You know, you've come a long way, baby. Well, I've come a long way, baby. Boy, was that was a long way to run just to get that out.
But that song?
No, it goes like, you've come a long way, baby. Oh, to get where you got...
Didn't go, oh.
Well, you know how it went.
Right. In any event,
Phil, why do you look as if someone's punched you in the gut? You had a very good point to make, and now you sit there, a defeated man.
You just took all the wind out of my sails with that. You've come a long way, baby. Oh!
Oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to come a long way, baby. Oh! Yeah, you pretty much did, Ms. Gray.
Well, if I did, so what?
Okay. Anyway, and what you do in life, when you got somebody who's dead from the neck up, when you got some low life, whatever's happening, you got lawyers. And in the last 6 years, I've found out just how... Here are the things I've found out in the last 6 years. I have found out just how ineffective lawyers are. I have found out just how ineffective people that you have working for you doing sales. I've found out just how ineffective and full of excuses all kinds of people are. You know? And especially attorneys. Now, I've got nothing against attorneys. I'm not one of these guys that doesn't like lawyers. I like lawyers. I like them a lot, and I need them, and thank God for them. Let me tell you what. And if you don't like lawyers, get another lawyer, okay? I don't know what to tell you, man, because, you know, lawyers can be very good for you. But you got to know what they're able to do and what they're not able to do. And what you got to do is you got to just, if they're frustrating you, if anybody is frustrating you in life, you just got to back off and go your own way, man, just like the song says, you know. Oh, here we go.
What? You got to... that's the song, though. You were...
Go your own way, yeah.
You can go your own way.
All right, God.
That's the song.
Yeah, who did that? Fleetwood Mac? Yeah, that's the Fleetwood Mac band.
Great. So, having said all of that, I don't know what the hell else I was trying to say. Let's move on, okay, before I start throwing up. All right, so... in the world of politics...
Well, what was your essential point, though?
My essential point on what?
We were talking about you found how ineffective...
No, it's just that, you know, people will see me screaming and yelling and ranting and raving off the air, and people don't know what I'm, you know, going through behind the scenes, but I have. I've gained a lot of patience, and I really have in the last few years, and because I just know there's some things that you can't make happen any faster than they're going to happen. And I think that's the difference between me and a guy that flies a plane into a building or a guy that, you know, loses it. I understand that there is a certain rhythm to life, that if you just back off and you have a little bit of patience, things are going to turn in your direction. And if they don't, there is a better place for them. There's a better place for you to be. There is just not necessarily what you want is the best thing, you know. And I've been thinking about that a lot, man. I've been thinking about how... You know, that's been one of the things.
This is the Phil Henry Spiritual Hour.
Yeah, don't stop. Father Phil, man.
Yeah, why don't you do Father Phil?
What do you mean Father Phil?
Sounds like you're doing a sermon and everything.
I'm talking about my life. You know, that's all I'm doing. Father Phil. All right, Jets give themselves a chance, if not a victory. The New York Jets tonight, we already heard from Joe Dickhead. The Jets lost. Despite a depleted roster, a maligned defense, and a quarterback situation that seemed more and more unsustainable by the day. Here the Jets were, late fourth quarter, trailing undefeated Houston by 6 points, the football in their possession. Precisely how they arrived at that moment was somewhat of a mystery, especially to the fans who for a good portion of Monday night made MetLife Stadium sound as cold and unforgiving as Radio City Music Hall after an unpopular draft selection. Indeed, when Mark Sanchez was shown on a video screen after being selected by the team in 2009, the crowd booed. However, the Jets' methodology for a victory that would fall somewhere between astonishing and are you serious could be dissected later, for they had opportunity, which is all they ever wanted, all they ever expected of themselves. When Sanchez's pass deflected off of Jeff Cumberland's hands high into the air, there was little doubt what would happen next. Kareem Jackson of the Texans snatched the ball, his interception sealing a 23-17 loss for the Jets. The national television audience that tuned in might have done so out of curiosity, eager to gauge the Texans' talent to see Tim Tebow unleashed, maybe, just maybe, to witness a potentially historic margin of victory. That last desire was not without merit, not with Houston outscoring its first four opponents by 70 points, and the Jets, well, they were outscored by 34 just last week.
So they lost.
Yes, the Jets lost. This is an article in the New York Times. I thought I'd read it because it... It goes to the heart of just how popular the Jets are and how much people, you know, how much people just lose their guts over the Jets. They lost on Monday night. And the New York Jets, truth be told, haven't even sniffed a Super Bowl. Well, the closest they came was with Bill Parcells back in the late 90s. I think they played Denver for the AFC Championship. And I remember that game because I remember it's kind of like the last of the old school AFL-AFC championship matchups that I can remember.
What do you mean?
Well, that's the last of those old teams?
Yeah, when the Jets and Broncos played, I remember thinking, wow, this is kind of like watching an old AFC, one of the old AFC games, one of the old AFL games. These are actually two of the charter members of the AFL, and they're playing for the championship, and It had been so long, you know. I mean, we're seeing like the New Englands against the Pittsburghs, the whatever. But the Jets have not come close since then. And they haven't been in a Super Bowl since the one that Joe Willie Namath. And I mean, that's the New York Jets. The only thing they got, man, the only thing they got is Joe Namath.
Well, I mean, they what about like the sack exchange?
Who cares about the sack exchange?
What's that?
The sack exchange was what's his name? Mark Kleck, Joe Klecko and Mark Gastineau. The guy that used to jump up and down. Big deal. Who cares about them?
Yeah, but they were good.
So what if they were good, man? We're talking about winning a Super Bowl. The last one the Jets had was Joe Namath, man, and he's in his almost in his 70s, if he's not already in his 70s. I mean, that's what the Jets... That's the last time the Jets had that kind of glory, man, back when they were wearing weird-looking helmets and, you know. So it's a football team that frustrates the living hell out of their fans, and then they go for Tebow. I'm telling you right now, there's something wrong mentally upstairs with the New York Jets, the brain trust. I mean, I don't see, I don't understand the whole Tebow move. I don't.
No, well, you kidding me? I mean, Tebow makes it happen on the field and everything.
I'll tell you what's wrong with that team, and I don't give a damn what anybody says. I don't think they got a good coach. I just don't. They don't have a good coach, and they certainly can't coach quarterbacks on that team to save their ass. Mark Sanchez is a good quarterback, but I think that kid is playing. I can't even imagine playing with Buddy Ryan breathing down, or what's the guy's name? Rex Ryan breathing down your neck.
Is that the man that was sniffing his wife's feet?
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was. What do you mean sniffing his wife's feet? He was talking to her about her feet, wasn't he?
No, he sniffed her feet.
Are you kidding? He sniffed his wife's feet where?
On some video.
Well, what does that tell you?
It doesn't tell me anything about coaching football.
What's that got to do with coach football? Yeah, but it does mean that there's a perversion. And would you want to be coached by him on a perversion?
What do you mean a perversion, bud? What does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you're on a, if you have him as a coach on a team... And let's see.
Get your fingers out of your nose, man.
Sorry. If he's a coach on a team, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes. Okay.
All right. And don't you think if you're a player that it'd be kind of weird, I'm sorry, that it'd be weird to have him?
What are you talking about, man? Are you saying that there's some undue pressure on the team because he sniffs his wife's feet?
I would think it would be a distraction, yes.
A distraction to who? If you keep it... Look, it. I remember when that whole thing went down. They didn't even bring it up. The Jets management didn't bring it up. Ryan didn't bring it up. The players didn't talk about it. It died as fast as it came around. I mean, nobody... You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I think that it's something that's a distraction. In much the same way that the... when Brett Favre had sent a picture of his... genitalia, or I forget, what was it?
Yeah, it was a picture of his genitalia.
When he sent that picture to that woman, that's a distraction. Because you're going out onto the... And I don't know football, Phil, so please forgive me if I'm misspeaking. But when you go out onto the football field, and you're thinking, the man that is going to throw the ball to me showed his penis to a woman that he didn't know. And I would think it would be it would cause you not to want to catch the ball. That's
yeah, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me, Robert.
Well...
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't know.
I'm telling you right now, are you... I'm in a football game and a guy throws the... Oh, boy, I don't know about catching this ball.
That's the last time you laugh at me.
Margaret, you know, I let you get your... Oh, look at her. She's walking away.
I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the toilet, yeah.
Oh, what? It's a nightly occurrence?
Yes, it is a nightly occurrence. Man, let's take a break.
You spit all over everything.
Sorry, folks, I spit up. I didn't spit up, but I spit. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's take a phone call here. RC in Altadena. RC, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry, and I've been listening to your program tonight and enjoying it very, very much. And everybody at Bradley Military Academy has sent a big, you know, hoorah at, to the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you.
I wanted to follow up, Mr. Henry, on the comment that you had made about Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets. And I agree with you. I think that if he were, I mean, you got to be kidding me. If he was with a coach like a Bill Belichick or a Don Landry, or I mean Tom Landry, I think Mark Sanchez would be a way better player.
That's a good point. I think that there's no question about that.
What about Boohoo?
What
coach you talking about?
I've talked about Tom Landry.
Tom Landry.
Tom Landry on the Dallas Cowboys, he's dead.
I know he's dead, but I'm saying that if he was alive, I think he was better at coach at quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think the point is that there's coaches that are very, very good at working with quarterbacks. They give them confidence. They give them confidence by giving them the tools they know they need when they go out onto the field. They feel they have a command of the field. There's a level of support they're getting. They're not sent out there with a pressure of it seems to me that Sanchez is sent out there week after week with, you know, you got to get it done or you're going to lose your job. Look at bringing Tebow in. What does that tell you, man? I mean, last year I had this sense Sanchez was playing with a lot of pressure, and when they made the deal to bring Tebow in.
Well, I think Tim Tebow may be a different case. That Tim Tebow is the guy that you want to bring in who will be like a dual, in my opinion, that was like a dual quarterback thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like, you can use Sanchez to throw the ball and then have Tebow to hurdle in.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And
what are we talking about? What?
Well, you can have Sanchez. He's passing the ball, and then when the ball gets down to the goal line, then you bring in Tebow, and he hurdles in. You know?
What do you mean hurdles in?
Well, he leaps in.
Yeah, and then Tebow comes in, and he just leaps in.
What do you mean a dual? Boy, that's cornball.
Why is that?
Well, it just sounds corny. Dual quarterbacks. I mean, so in other words, you've got quarterbacks that are going to be playing, you know, splitting playing time?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's teams that have done that.
Well, they've done it maybe game to game, but they've never done it in a game. I don't know of any professional team. I can tell you that I don't know. Maybe there are, and maybe there have been, but I can't think of any professional team that I've ever seen that split the playing time in a game as a regular feature of their offense between, you know, two quarterbacks.
Well, what do you think about that?
What do you think about if they had Sanchez comes in and then they go, okay, now let's bring in Tebow and he'll run it. Okay, now bring Sanchez back in. And it keeps the defense from being aware of it. Or, I mean, being on top of it.
I think it's squirrely.
What do you mean squirrely?
I think it's just squirrely. I don't think there's a defense in the National Football League that wouldn't be able to handle that. I think that's not going to blow anybody's mind. I think the defense is up and down the line, and the NFL will be able to handle that, just like they were able to handle Tebow in Denver last year. Tebow wasn't no big thing. I said that, and oh, my God.
What did you think about Tebow?
I thought Tebow was a fine young man, and he's not a half-bad quarterback, but he ain't going to win any Super Bowls. He's a scrambling quarterback, and by that I mean he's a scrambling quarterback who does not have the greatest arm in the world. And those quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls. They never have won Super Bowls. And as far as I know, they never will win Super Bowls. And when I said that on Facebook last season, oh, my God, you would have thought that I had just committed a mortal sin.
But you got to give Tebow a lot of people like him.
Yeah. The other thing, Mr. Henry, that you're not taking into consideration is he is a Christian. So, you know.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Where's Margaret, by the way?
What?
Well, I think, Mr. Henry.
Hold on. What?
Where's Margaret?
Margaret, go find. And don't pound on the door, okay?
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing that I was going to say, Mr. Henry, it's just...
Hold on.
Hey, Greg! Okay, but I said don't...
Hey, are you listening to me, Mr. Henry?
Hold on, will you? But don't do that.
Margaret!
Don't do that.
Hey, Baldy!
Hey, Baldy, huh? Punk?
Right, but still wants you.
Don't bother her if she's still in the can.
My God, my, can't I sit and have a bowel movement?
Every single night, this woman's got to make a major announcement that she's having a bowel movement.
Yeah, well, she, I asked about that. She said just in case, like she said, that's why. Because if she has a heart attack in there, you need to know where she is.
If she has a heart attack, I need to... I understand people saying, I'm going to the bathroom. I get that, because you're right. If they have a heart attack, I guess we need to know where they are. But do you need to tell me you're going to the bathroom to take a...
A dump?
The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. I want to remind you, our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you can get a backstage pass that affords you over 4,500 hours full radio shows of the world-famous Phil Henry Show going back more than a decade, cutting-edge satire, cutting-edge comedy. It's bitching, man. And also, of course, we have our videocast archive, and we have our Milwaukee Lion archive, and we just got it going on there at philhenryshow.com. And dropping tomorrow is episode 47. Of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Free Phil Henry Show podcast. That's episode 47, dropping tomorrow. And you can find that at our website, as well as iTunes and other places like that. All right, guys, until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you. Thanks. See ya.
See ya, buddy.
Phil Henry.